And welcome back, everybody, to another episode of Benched with Bubba, episode 696. Continuing our journey to get ready for the 2025 fantasy baseball season. About a week ago, give or take, Steamer dropped their 2025 projections, and you know how much fantasy baseball loves their projections, so we're going to have some fun digging in on the hitters this week. We'll do pitching next week and talk about some standouts, some key stats people look for. Do we agree? Do we disagree? All that kind of fun stuff along the way. In order to help me do, though, is as a good friend of the show, my normal co-host on the early episode of the week. You can find him on Twitter at @BreakingBen_T. Ben Tidd, how are we doing, my friend?
Doing well, Bubba. It was good to have a week off. You know, I always love coming on the show, but now it's kind of like reset to 2025 talk. So, and I think that's probably where the show's going to be headed. I mean, I'm assuming that, but it's, I feel like we're kind of leaving 2024 in the rear view now. And I know you're drafting. You're in draft maybe number two. Yes.
I'm in my second DC right now. I've gone through 8 rounds, I believe. So yeah, we're moving.
Yeah, so you're in 2025 mode. So I'm not quite there yet, but this is gonna help me get there.
Yeah, no, like we'll still mention 2024 stuff. Still doing positional reviews on Bubba and the Bloom, so we're not going too far there. Still writing stuff on the Patreon to kind of compare 24 to look ahead to 25, but we're moving that direction now. It's November. Draft rooms are open. People are asking 2025 questions, and like I said at the start of the show, projections are getting released. And that's usually the time where I know people like you, like Toby was one of them. I know Ryan will be, and many, many more. You start getting these projections. You start putting them in your systems. You start, you know, getting your rankings built based on different projections. And not saying Steamer's the end-all be-all, but it's the first one. So that'll give us something to talk about on this one. Before we get going, happy belated birthday, my friend. I didn't realize it till before the show, but Ben had a birthday over the weekend. So happy birthday.
Thanks, Bubba. I'm catching up to you.
You got a long ways to go, my friend. Long ways to go. Really,
you're always going to be ahead of me.
Yeah, I'm always. It's one thing, you know. I might not beat you in a race, but I'm gonna beat you in this one. So, got that going for me. But when we're talking Steamer here, you made a Z-score spreadsheet that we'll reference throughout the show, and then highlight some guys at the very end. We're going to talk about some players that were projected to have 2020 seasons. That's a kind of a starting point for some people when looking at this. There's also talk batting average. Gainers. There's all kinds of different ways to break it down on the hitting side of things. But I know you were digging into, because you were texting me, I think, maybe the day they dropped. I think I was in FPAS, and you sent me a text or two or the day after about some players. So you've been looking at these a little bit. What stands out to you doing your Z scores and some other things before we dig in on some more player analysis?
Yeah, well, one thing that, and I think I mentioned when we did the one show back last January where we compared the different systems, a few of them, is that Steamer is very offensively happy. There's some big homer RBI totals, some steal totals, a lot of good averages. And even on the pitching side, we're not going to cover that this week, but next week, there's a lot of optimism with innings for starters and pretty good ratios. So I mean, it's only the first edition of Steamer. It's going to update many times from now until opening day, but it's something, like you said, it's a, and like for you, if you were to draft a projection, at least you have some sort of baseline to go off of if you wanted to do so. So it's better than nothing. And it, just this comparing how players rank compared to other players, I think is interesting. And those are some of the things I was, you alluded to me texting you while you're in FPAS, which I hope you had a blast, by the way. Sound like you did. So want to get out there eventually. But yes, there's some where some of the names fall in the hitter rankings based on the Z scores, like you mentioned, that I calculated. It's interesting. And I'm sure we'll touch on some of that beyond just the 2020 players.
Yes, we will hit those towards the end, but we'll start here with the 2020 because it does lead to some fun discussion here. There was, I should have counted this ahead of time, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21. Yeah, 23, I believe, players projected for 2020 seasons. I mentioned to Ben before the show, there's a handful that just missed. There's a lot of like 18 to 20 home run guys that don't have the steals or vice versa type stuff that basically one hot week. We talked Mason Wynn off the air. He's projected for 18 homers and 16 steals. Like there's guys that are real close to taking that jump as well. And not all these guys are going to be 2020. Let's be realistic on this set of situations as well. Like I said, it's kind of a fun starting point because, you know, when we talk about analysis on players, we always talk about we want power in drafts. We want speed in drafts. So you get those quote unquote balanced players that can project for you to get 2020 plus steals and homers. That's pretty, you know, nice to have, obviously, when you're building your team. I mean, I know you and others, as you're building your team in drafts, you kind of have a spreadsheet on, you know, you're trying to hit a target goal. And so you're using whatever conglomerate, like grouping of projections you use, plus whatever are the formulas you use. And you're using those numbers to make your points as you're going through your draft. So this is a way people can go about it. So the clear cut number one, and these aren't ranked in any order, but it was the first one at the top of the board, is Shohei Ohtani, obviously. And I just wanted to bring him up because I don't think any of us are like, oh, wow, he's ranked so high, he's projected so good. What I wanted to mention is because it's been talked about quite a bit, Shohei's supposed to pitch next year. And I've been saying, pounding the drum that he's not going to be a guy that goes 54 homers and 59 steals if he's pitching every fifth day. Like, we've seen his production be still good, but not the same. Plus, now he's got the shoulder surgery, so who knows how long that holds him up. And he's supposed to be ready for opening day, but you know what I'm trying to say. In that regard, does he not steal as much to try to prevent future injuries, so on and so forth. With all that, Shohei's still projected for 44 homers and 36 steals, which is bonkers. Like, that's video game stuff, even without what he did this past year. So just a quick thought on Shohei. Like, we all know he's great. We know he's going to put up really great numbers as long as he plays 150-plus games every year. But what's your thoughts on his 44-36 projection from Shohei?
I think overall it's a pretty good projection. It's and you kind of alluded to it in your intro, but I think the steals at 36 are still kind of high. Yeah, he had like 59 or whatever crazy number he had, but after everyone saw the shoulder injury, and like I said, he's going to be pitching again. If he gets above 30, I'd be surprised, just because I don't think he had stolen above 30 before that. I'm going off of memory. I don't know that for sure, but I'll look that up.
I had it here. Just give me that. I got it for you right now. Yeah. No, his highest was 26 steals in 2021. He had 20 last year.
Yeah, so I think that's more of a expectation that I would have for him if I were to draft Shohei in a draft. But and I've heard people already saying on some podcasts that they're he's not the sure number one for them anymore, mainly because of the shoulder, I think. And yeah, I get it. But I mean, we had that doubt with the betting thing this past season. Look what happened there. So I understand that thought. I mean, I kind of lean that way too. I think Witt is just as good of a hitter. I mean, his projection is not far behind Ohtani's when it comes to the Z scores. And we'll talk about Witt soon, but as like with the lack of steals, if he goes 40-20 Ohtani, I think he still could be the number one player in fantasy with how many runs he'll probably score, yep, especially with the pitching that he's going to have this season, if you ever want to use him as a starter. But I would just be cautious if you're banking on all those steals that Steamer's saying he should be getting.
Yeah, steals would be my biggest concern. The power, I'm not too worried. Again, the shoulder can be an issue, but that's supposed to be ready to rock and roll by spring training. So I'm not too concerned about that right now. But yeah, there will be a dip. We all knew there'd be regression, but it's just interesting to see where Steamer regresses him to, per se. They haven't batted 282. He hit 310 this year, 304 last year. So they're giving him a big drop back in batting average as well. I think we can both agree, and this is why we don't always love pitching for projections. Counting stats, you can kind of have a better feel for. Ratios are always a kind of more of a crapshoot scenario. So that is interesting. But yeah, he went number one in my recent DC, and Bobby went number two. I think you're going to see a lot of that. You might see a lot of it flipped. That's just going to be a common theme as well. I want to mention Bobby Witt. He is 31-36 projected. He's one of two players projected for a 30-30 season this year. That seems fair. 32-31 this last year, 30-49 the year before, 20-30 the year before that. That seems to kind of fall in line. What I thought was interesting, Ben, you know, he hit 332 last year, but prior to that saw things dip a bit. Had that big BABIP we've talked about on recent shows, talking BABIP. But he's projected for a 297 average. That's pretty big boy stuff too. Where we have a section on batting average guys also, but Witt checks that box also. We don't. You said Steamer's kind of a more friendly situation per se, but a 297 projected average to go with the 30-30 season. That's another part of a good argument to take him number one.
It is, and I think I made these points when we talked about the BABIP on the BABIP show about Witt, and his K rates dropped all 3 years he's been in the majors. His BABIP was that stuck at 295 his first two seasons. And then this past season, it was 354. So of course the average jumped 60 points because of that almost 60 point jump in BABIP. But because of how fast Witt is and how well he hits the ball, I think he should be able to hold a BABIP comfortably north of 300. And I think that means with the low K rate that he'll have a average around 300. So I think projecting him for that 297 is pretty fair.
Most definitely. The other player, and this was fun to see because a lot of people just think he's boring and there's all these other flashy guys out there right now. And you're not wrong in a kind of a way, but J-Ram is the other player projected for 30-30. He's projected for 30 homers and 31 steals. And that's pretty awesome considering he almost went 40-40 last year, 39-41. He's only stolen 30 bases one other time, though. That's a bit interesting. Now, the power, he's only hit over 30 home runs two other times, but he's projected for a 30-31 season for a guy that hasn't done it consistently, per se. He's more of a 25-30 homer guy and like a 20-25 steal guy, but he's projected for 30-30. Does that do anything for you when you're looking at, you know, deciding on certain picks in the first round, or is it just like, you know, J-Ram's a great floor and you're going to run with it that way?
Yeah, I did talk a little negatively about him when we did the BABIP shows because I think he was – his BABIP was below his average, but it's because of all the homers he hits and how infrequently he strikes out. But so looking at NFBC right now, Jose is actually the fifth player off the board on average in DCs, and he is the sixth hitter per my Z scores and the Steamer projection. So that's kind of that's a fair price because I don't if you put a pitcher ahead of him, he's seventh now in ADP according to the Steamer, or seven in the rankings. But yeah, I see what you're talking about with the homers, and I think I mentioned too on the BABIP show that he doesn't have the best barrel rate, J-Ram, but he hits a lot of fly balls, and that kind of ties into the low BABIP. But I think he's still safe for now. I don't think he's going to fall off a cliff by any means. It's just that, I mean, we'll wait and see what the other projections say too. But Steamer thinks that he deserves a early first round ADP, and I'll see what happens when I do my rankings. But I don't know if I'll have him that high.
Yeah, he's going fifth right now, according to the 13 drafts, champions drafts that have taken place since October 1st. So people are buying into that, and that was even before projections came out. So the people are very excited from what they see from J-Ram. And if anything, it's kind of like what I said at the beginning with him. He's safe. Like, everybody can get hurt, so people are like, no one's safe, whatever. If he plays this normal season, he's one of the safer players in all of baseball. Like, you're going to get – even if he doesn't hit 30-31, his final stat line is not going to crush your team. You're going to be just fine. So, like, he's one of those picks where a lot of these young guys have such, like, highs and lows, like the next guy we'll talk about, where J-Ram is just, like, going to do his thing. You don't have to worry about him at all, basically. So it's a nice situation to have.
And he's speed at third base, which is also very
nice. That's true. That's true, because third base, we all know, not as bad as second base this year, but maybe not as bad as first base even. So third base might be making a comeback, but still not great by any means. The next guy I mentioned, one of these young guys with a lot of volatility in his profile. And that's when Elly De La Cruz, talked about him quite a bit due to his BABIP as well. Got up to 359 last year. But he's projected to be a 26 home run, 54 stolen bases, which is pretty crazy. And more importantly, Ben, I know we talked about it on the BABIP show, projected for 252 average. And it's one of those, if Elly can hit 250 plus every year, he's going to be a fantasy beast with what he can do on the diamond.
Yeah, I mean, he hit 259 this past season, which is much better than what he did in 2023, which is 235. And this one point with his average is that if you look at a lot of the guys who are projected in this area, you got 280, 297, 292, 270s, 280, 302. Tucker below him is 276. So he's definitely the outlier in terms of average. And yet, the MLB average is lower now. On the average, or the league-wide average is lower. But when you're building your team and you take Elly, you have to make sure that your next two hitters are well above average in average to make up for him just being league average and not first round average in average. Yeah. If that makes sense, because
not totally.
And I think James Anderson made this point on I think it was on Rob D's podcast, maybe even at FPAS. And he was saying how, and I agree with him completely, is that if you take a lower average hitter in the first round, that's not like Kyle Schwarber low, but low relative to the rest of the first round picks. You really got to make sure you're compensating for that with your next few hitter picks, at least. And then if you don't, you can find yourself near the bottom of the standings in average, even though you have all these steals. And if you're trying to punt average, it's fine. If you're in a standalone league, it's always a viable strategy. But this is something to be careful about if you do decide to take Elly.
That's a great point. I know James is obviously one of the smartest minds out there. So if he's preaching it and you were kind of hitting on it as well, it's a really good point, because I know I'll be guilty of saying, well, the league average has dropped, but you make a good point. The league average drops also as you go through the draft. You need to start, you know, at these points. That's what makes some of these elites, again, J-Ram, which makes him such a great play, because he might not be a 300 guy, but he's like a 275, 280 guy more often than not, could be higher or lower on certain years. So on and so forth, and that makes for a big push. And that's a good point on Elly. I didn't really even have that wrapped around my head, because Elly's like went third in my DC. I'm not taking Elly third. Like, I just can't do it. But it's a good point that you're making there, especially if you're playing for the overall, like we've tried to point out from time to time.
And just for so you'll be able to see this too, the listeners won't. But look at his Z weighted average compared to everyone else. It's barely above zero, and everyone else is like 1.5 or higher, 2, 3. That's where it really sticks out. You can see the impact that it would have.
That is a great point. Yeah, he's basically just chilling.
He's average.
Yeah, he's league barely league average. So that's a really good. Yeah, everybody above him, a good Z score ahead of him compared to. Yeah. Like the next closest one would be Corbin Carroll, who actually I took in the first round. I picked 13, but yeah, that's very, very, very telling. This next one's fun, and there'll be probably a lot of discussions on this throughout the offseason here as we ramp up drafts. Ronald Acuna Jr. Acuna is projected for 27 homers and 46 stolen bases. We know how good he can be. Went 41-73 in 2023. Projected for a 292 average as well. He hit 337 that year, but outside of that, has never hit above 283. His first rookie season, he hit 293. But projected for a very high average. The talking point, though, 2 points. This is over 133 games, where most of these guys are like 150-plus, give or take, because Acuna has already been said he will not start the season unless barring some medical miracle this offseason. He won't be ready for opening day, which means how much ramp-up time does Acuna need? And this is also a guy that we've seen get hurt before and didn't quite run right away type situations. So projecting him for 46 steals might be a little rich.
It will be. So he got hurt last time in 2021, right?
I believe so. I'm looking at 17 steals the following year.
Or he had that in 2021. Then he only had 29 in 2022. So if he ended 2021 early, he came back in 22. And, yeah, he didn't even hit 30. So, I mean, he's still young enough to where he could steal a ton of bases, but I don't know if they're going to tell him to slow it down a little bit. And I alluded to earlier, I haven't done any rankings process yet at all, but I know Acuna's going to be tricky for me. The projection loves him, of course. And it's just how comfortable you are with that. You mentioned he's going to miss time to start the season. Him and Strider, they both announced that the Braves did recently. I heard that. And where the power is, even his power was low when he came back from his first ACL surgery. And he didn't start off the best this past year. I'm confident he would have caught fire and been just fine, I'm sure. So it's tough, but I think he's still going to be he probably still should be a first rounder, but the missed time is tricky. Maybe he's a back end first rounder and not the third pick the Steamer's saying.
ADP of 12, give or take, 11.5 right now. Someone actually took him first. Don't know if that was an accident or not. Gone as low as 18, though. So that's where the discussion gets fun. If he starts falling towards that turn, do you start taking your chances for what could be with Ronald Acuna? Definitely a fun position to be in. I luckily was not there in my draft. I believe he went right before me when I took Corbin Carroll, so I didn't even ponder that situation. Now, this projection makes me very happy because I'm always team Kyle Tucker through and through on these. And we got Kyle Tucker projected for 33 homers and 21 steals. I still think he has a higher steals ceiling. Maybe if they're concerned about his injury, who knows, but I think he's more than fine. Got him for a good 276 average, so barely makes the cut with the 21 steals, but before last year, 30 steals and 25 steals in full season. So I think the steals, to me, are a little low. Maybe I'm just too optimistic on what Kyle Tucker can do, but a healthy Kyle Tucker, to me, is one of the best hitters in all of baseball.
He is, yeah, and it's because he was on a 20-steal pace. He only had 11 in 78 games last year before he got hurt. But, yeah, I don't have much to say about Tucker. I'm fully back in on him in the mid-first round. It was a kind of a fluke injury. Hopefully he wears a shin guard this year or something so it doesn't happen again. But I think he'll be fine. So
yeah, send him out there like little giants and just completely pad up that shin. That's all. All right, this one is interesting to me. We're going Fernando Tatis Jr., projected for 37 homers and 20 steals. It's interesting for me for a few reasons. Guy cannot stay healthy. That's just been a thing, unfortunately, over the last 3 years. He did play 141 games in 2023. But still 25 homers and 29 steals. When he's been quasi-healthy, he's got 25 to 29 steals. He's only had 1 year over 25 home runs, though. So they're projecting for 37 here. This is just one of those projections that I could see going all over the map with Fernando Tatis Jr. So I thought the power was a little high. Maybe the speed was a little low in this projection. But, again, I think a fully healthy Fernando is like a 40-40 guy, in my opinion. So I could see it happening. But just from what we've seen and the ability to not stay on the field for 3 straight years makes me kind of question it as well.
Yeah, this was one that's definitely surprised me just because of the sheer volume. But like I said, Steamer's very offensively happy with their projections. And it's kind of just piggybacking off his 2021 season when he had 42, 25, and 130 games. Then he missed all of 2022 with a suspension. And I think he had the surgery that year too. And then 2023 and 2024 didn't play full season though. 141 games in 2023 was his best of his career. But he only had 25 homers that year. So people probably were suspicious of the PED suspension and the power dip. But yeah, I mean, the projections will always love Tatis, I think. It's probably because of like his batted ball quality is so good. Especially if you're talking like Bat X, I'm sure he'll stand out there as well when that comes out eventually. And yeah, let me look at Tatis's ADP because I want to see. It's nine. And yeah, they're loving has him. Yeah. What was that?
So they're loving him still. You got to pay for him.
Yeah, fifth per Steamer, not very far off. And yeah, he saying he should be a front half of the first round pick. And I don't know. I mean, I remember looking at his Statcast page from this past season. It was still excellent. Yep. Maybe he just got unlucky for whatever reason. And I mean, San Diego isn't the best place to hit. So that hurts him a little bit, I think. And so it's tough. I mean, if you want to play safe with your first round pick, I don't expect him to get hurt again necessarily, Tatis, because he should be fixed now. It's just hopefully now he's had a full health season, full offseason being healthy, and he comes close to what this is saying.
Yeah, a healthy Tatis, beast. I think we can all agree with that. It's just, can you trust it that early in draft? $1 million question. All right, Corbin Carroll, this guy I have interest in all of a sudden. Corbin Carroll has a 26 home run, 41 stolen base projection with a .263 average. I will sign up for that right now if possible. And part of me wants a higher average. Like, he only had .231 last year, but we all know the struggles to start the year, and they actually finished relatively strong in that department, hit .285 in 2023. So he's going to be 24 this year, could take a whole nother step in the right direction as well. There's a lot of he's another volatile one, like not to the extent of Ellie in my mind. Ellie's got such a higher ceiling potentially, but could also fall. Like Corbin Carroll could legit be a 30-40 guy, and I don't think anybody would be surprised. At the same time, if he slumps again, what happens? So I like Carroll quite a bit. The projection 26-41 is very fair. I would just like a little more batting average when all things are said and done.
I get that. And he was on our BABIP show for the low end. He only had a .256 batting average, or BABIP, and he's so fast. So I think that should bounce back above 300. And I think .263 is the floor because he had .260 in his first year, but he had a 27% K rate in 32 games. That dropped to 19% in his breakout in 2023 when he hit .285. And it was 19% K rate again this past year. So I think that's the floor. And I think you should be, you shouldn't worry too much about him struggling like he did this year, but he's not quite Ellie, but if you look at his Z score, the average component of his Z score, it's less than one, and everybody else has been well above one so far. So there's something to think about. Maybe if you were to, so in your current draft, where I think you're well past where I listened to your podcast today with Ryan and you just made the pick, but hopefully you got some more batting average help in your next few picks just to make sure, because there's the chance.
I got Jackson Churio.
Yep.
Maybe a little help. O'Neill Cruz, not so much. Logan O'Hoppe, Christian Walker. No, I need batting average help if we're talking about that. Yes.
Yeah, and I think I mentioned to you before, we'll get to Churio, but I think his average projection is low based on what he did to end the season and also how fast he is. But going back to Carroll, I think the 26 homers might be a little too much to project. That's probably like his ceiling.
Yeah.
And like I said before, we'll probably say with all these numbers, it's Steamer's very offensively happy. But I think he's still safe as a first-round pick, and I don't have any issue with where you took him.
Yep. No, at that point in the draft, I would go for it. Probably wouldn't go any higher. But at that point, the potential for this power speed, I'm interested, to say the least. This next player should get people very excited again because there's people that are on both sides of the fence when it comes to J-Rod, Julio Rodriguez. We know how the season was a little frustrating last year, but did finish really strong. Like still was 2024. I know everyone saw 32, 37, but the dude's played 3 years, Ben. He's been at least 2020 every year. That's pretty good. He said at least 273 every year. He'll be 24 this year, just like Corbin Carroll. J-Rod is going right before Corbin Carroll, a couple picks before. He's the hitter that goes before Corbin Carroll at 12.6. And when it comes to J-Rod, he's projected for 30-28. Again, like I said, he's in 2020 every year. We saw 130-30 season. This is a very fair projection. And if anything, when I saw this, it's one of those that if you're on the fence about J-Rod and you do believe in projections, this should make you feel a whole lot better.
I agree. And it's a classic regression positively to the mean, because I think everyone can agree that J-Rod 2024 was below his standard and what his average output should be. And it's just, you're starting to get away from, now as we're going down the list, it's also coinciding with the lower Z scores,
yes,
which could also be translated for listeners to lower dollar values. It's like one step away from going into a dollar value. And at this point, J-Rod is, he's the 14th hitter per steamer, very close to that ADP you mentioned. And he has the top of the first round upside. So I think taking him at this point in the draft is pretty awesome. And I think it makes drafting late appealing, because you could pair up maybe even Carroll and J-Rod if one of them falls, or you can get Mookie and J-Rod. I'm not sure where Mookie's ADP is, but he's a little bit higher. But looking at it, you could get like Vlad and J-Rod. Imagine that start. That's pretty nice.
Yeah, that's where I was debating between Carroll and J-Rod. J-Rod went right after me. It was one of those, I'm sitting there going, man, maybe I'll get lucky and he'll fall to me. Because he was going as low as like 18 or I think you're 19 and some. I probably should have went J-Rod, but we'll see. Batting average wise, J-Rod was probably the pick. Let's put it that way. In Captain Hindsight mode, that's why I do this November stuff and keep moving through it. But we'll see how the dust settles on that one. All right, this one should make you a little excited, Ben. Jazz Chisholm Jr. This is a guy that we've always said, just be healthy. Played 147 games last year, went 24-40 with a 256 average. I think we know the average will never be great, but we've all said 2020 floor if he plays a good year. Like, there's a floor there. Steamer has him 29-33, Ben, in 143 games. My goodness, that is pretty outstanding stuff if you don't mind the batting average hit.
Correct. Yeah, he's actually so we were talking about Ellie being basically average in terms of the average Z-score. Jazz is our first negative that Steamer has. He's a minus 0.3, and that's 246 for reference. And he's still projected for 80-80. Let me look at what he – so this past year he was 74 – I don't see RBIs on the StatCast. It's 74-73.
Yep.
Yeah, and that's a full year for him, but part of the issue is he didn't really bat high in the order for the Yankees. And that's a big thing that I want to look at. And it's also why I want to wait too, is see, okay, who are the Yankees going to sign? Will they re-sign Soto? Will someone else be their leadoff hitter? And then that will probably push Jazz back to the middle of the lineup. He'll get fewer plate appearances, and then that'll suppress his run production. And I mean, the 29 homers is a lot. Let me look at his
short porch, baby. Short porch.
It is. Yeah. So I'm looking at a spray chart, and there's some definitely not red dots, which represent home runs that are over the fence in Yankee Stadium. And I get it. And I think that's going to help him a ton, because his StatCast overall, there's not a lot of red on the page. It's a lot of blue and that reddish blue, except for the speed, of course. And it's just it's a tough one. What's his ADP? I think he's pretty high. He's 25 right now overall.
You gotta pay for him.
Yeah, it's hard. That's one I have to wait and see. Like I said, I have to see if he's hitting leadoff or second. If he is for the Yankees, if he's hitting ahead of Judge and Stanton and whoever else they may sign, okay, I get it. But I don't know. It's a tough trick. You're paying for more than his career year, I think, by picking him at this early end. But Steamer hasn't projected that high. But I think the other projections will have him maybe in the 30s or 40s for hitter ranks. But I don't know. We'll have to wait and see.
Yeah, because it's also like, okay, maybe the power comes down a bit, but 33 steals, we could see 35, 36 there as well. It's not a big jump.
40 again.
Yeah, you could go 40 again there. Maybe he's 22-40, but if he hits first or second, there could be 120 runs scored.
Right.
Like, that's tremendous. Now we're talking Mookie Betts type stuff, minus the average. It's interesting, to say the least. It's very, very interesting with Jazz. As always, it seems like every year it's like, Jazz, what could be? And he finally showed it this last year for the first time ever. Talking about what could be. Now, for those that use projections to get their rankings and draft off of this projection is going to make things very tricky on draft day. Because if you don't look at the name, you love the idea of a guy that's going to go 29-29 potentially. That's pretty cool. Then you move your hand off of it and see the name, and that's one Luis Robert Jr. That makes things a little more tricky. Projection for 244 average as well. But we know the story here, Ben. He's only played over he's only played 145 games once, played over, he played 100 this last year for the second time ever. We know the team context is not great. His one full season, he went 38-20. So now we're projecting 29-29 for a guy that A, hasn't been able to stay healthy, B, on a dreadful baseball team. So how do you go about this one? Because like talent-wise, I could see the argument for 29-29, but reality, very tough to stomach.
It is, and I want to see where he's going right now.
He's not that expensive compared to usual.
I just lost the page. All right. Well, so the one thing I did notice, though, before I – is that
he's, his 89th, average is – 89th right now.
Wow. So this is a good buy, according to Steamer.
Yeah, as low as 125.
Right. Everyone's just scared of what happened in the White Sox. I mean, the scariest thing right here for me is the 244 average that he's projected for, which is lower than Jazz's. But – and I tweeted about Jazz and Luis Robert almost being – 30-30 projected hitters by Steamer. Just kind of eye-opening. This is also assuming that Robert takes a big step up in his steals total because his career high is 23 this past year, but he only played 100 games. So I guess it's fair to project out another 10 if with another 50 games played, but asking him to play 150 games is a lot based on his track record. And will he be motivated in Chicago? I mean, like, will he... He's going to be playing for a contract eventually. And does he want to get hurt stealing bases for the White Sox? Who knows? It's the runs and RBIs for a pick that late are very good, 86, 79. Right. It's just at that point in the draft, I mean, if you have enough average and you think your hitters are pretty safe, I get taking the chance on Robert. It's just at least he's not anywhere close to where he was getting drafted in the past, sure, because that would be hard to pay up for his situation and his health history. I mean, go ahead.
I think if you're if you're drafting Lou Bob, and the price is much more palatable, like he's basically in the old like Adelise Randy situation. Which okay, now we can have some fun with that. That makes sense. I think what you're doing if you're making that pick, two things: you're hoping on health, and you're hoping on a trade. That's what you're looking for with Lou Bob, because in reality, if he plays even 140 games, I'll give him that, and he goes to a better situation, this projection might be fine or blown out of the water even. Like, that's totally, like, doable.
Well, he's going also, in terms of 15s, he's going two rounds past where Adelise and Randy were going at least last year. So, I mean, this is a reason why you would want to get in a draft, I guess, is to take Robert at this price.
This is why I do these things, yes.
Yes, I think he's a good buy for as much trouble he gave managers last year. And I remember hearing others say how he'd miss – a couple games, you wouldn't be sure if he's gonna be playing during the week, and then you set your lineups for the first half and he's not playing. I'd never had to deal with that because I didn't have Robert on any teams last year. Yeah. I think it's a little bit easier to stomach though if you're taking him in the sixth round of a 15 teamer.
Like, he's projected to go five picks before Seiya Suzuki right now. I'm not going to mention the player he's going two picks in front of, because we're going to talk about him about three more guys. We could talk about that in a minute, but he's going like 12 picks after Brent Rooker. So
yeah,
makes for some fun for sure. All right. A player that I think everyone can agree on. This is more a boring one that just happened to go farther down the list. Francisco Lindor, projected for 28-25. 2 years ago, went 31-31. Last year, 33-29, almost back-to-back 30-30 seasons. Hit 273 last year compared to his usual like 250, 260 area. He's actually been a lot of 270 years too. So that's all over the board. But power, speed, pretty undeniable. This is another one kind of like J-Ram. If you could almost go J-Ram in the first, Lindor in the second, two of the more boring players, you can almost just pencil in their stats.
That'd be a beautiful start. And
yes,
I forget where Lindor was last year, but he's historically been very he hasn't been given his credit, his due by projection systems. And 24th hitter is getting there. It's just like the low average holds him down. And the low RBI total, it's only 79 RBIs projected by Steamer. And he hasn't hit that low since his 2021 season, which was a disaster. And he only had played on 25 games. He was 90 plus last 3 years. And I think this is another case of, for whatever reason, projections don't like him. And I know the ADP is now corrected because he's back end of the first round or early second. But if for ever any reason, if he falls because of pitching or anything, I would gladly scoop up Lindor in the second round.
Yep. No, I'm with you right now. He's ADP around 16, though. So, yep, he's on the turn. Unfortunately, you have to actually pay a premium for him.
The player's a little concerning, though, I will say,
That's a little starting to get, get a little different there. A guy that's going a couple picks after Lindor is the one, the only, the guy that'll be 21 years old this year, Jackson Churio, who I am heavily interested in this season. I already have one share in two drafts, and I'm a big fan of his. He's projected for 27-26, Ben. In his rookie year, went 21-22 with a 275 average. I'm not going to take your steam here because I know you have some great stuff on how things ended that leave people even potentially more optimistic on Jackson Churio. But what's your thoughts on this 27-26? Because I've been saying all along, he's still young. He might not get there just yet, but this is a 40-40 Acuna type guy.
Yeah, he definitely has that upside. And I was going to say you could go on as long as you want on him because he is your guy now, but I'll say some points. And the one thing that stood out to me is his average is projected for – where is he? So he's 18th overall hitter projected by Steamer, 268 average. And from June on, he had 315 in June, 317 in July, 321 in August, 263 in September, which is fine. But he was well above that for most of the year, as I think he got accustomed to major league pitching. He started hitting homers, stealing bases, and he didn't strike out a lot. His BABIP was only 320. I think he could hold a much higher BABIP, especially while he's so young. And 27-26 is a pretty decent stepping stone. He was 21-22 last year, and he's going to be now 20, or he's going to be 21. Yeah, he's going to be 21, which is insane. Yeah. And I think 25-25 is a safe floor with a 280 plus average. He's probably going to lead off for the Brewers, so he should score 90 to 100 runs. Maybe 80 RBIs, and that's deserving of where you took him. And I think I don't know if he'll move into the first round, but he's definitely going to be probably stuck in the second round in 15, which I think.
Yeah, at worst, he'll be early second. It's just we always want to move guys up, but it's who falls down. That first few rounds are pretty nice. There's a lot of talent in the drafts these days compared to previous, like, you know, 5, 6, 7 years ago. It's pretty stacked, and it's hard to justify moving certain guys around when it's all done. But this time next year, I wouldn't be surprised if Churio's a top 5-6 pick if he does what he's supposed to do. Like, he's that talented, so enjoy it while you can. Next one's interesting, CJ Abrams. This is a guy that everyone was hyped on last year, then he gambled on himself and got suspended, and finished with 20 homers, 31 steals, 246 average. People expect him more steals after 47 in 2023. Projections have him almost, you know, back on track, 21 homers, 39 steals, 254 average. So they're expecting Abrams to bounce back nicely. He'll be 24, so still young. Should play every day, and the Nats aren't going to, you know, punish him any for that. That was his punishment. He's going to be back with the team. So it's kind of a matter, do you believe in the power? Because he's been like 18 and 20 homers, so they're giving him one more home run bump, but they're kind of getting his speed back to 2 years ago as well. So are you on board with this projection? Because this feels like one that may be a little too optimistic at times.
Without looking, I don't think it's very off from what it was last year. I think what he did this past year was pretty close to his actual projection. I remember that was one of the things we talked about when we did that episode. Let me pull up his stats. So he was 20 and 31. He is now 21 and 39 homers and steals, and 79 runs, 65 RBIs is what he actually had. He's projected for 88 and 68. So they're Steamer's projecting some growth, especially in the runs and the steals. The average is a little bit higher. He's turning into the next Chris Davis with a K, 246, 245, 246, very close to what Chris Davis did back in the day. But yeah, and I pulled up his Abrams stat cast as well, and his value, he's kind of like Ellie, but without the tools, because it's all blue on his stat cast. The only thing that's red is literally his sprint speed. And I checked, his ADP is still 41, which is the 40th player. Is like he kind of returned the value, but I don't think he'll be a priority for me just because he's a steal first player going early, and I'd rather worry about power and average at this point in the draft, I think. And I mean, from a valuation standpoint, it works because he is the 28th projected Steamer hitter, and he's done this already, the stat line. I there's upside for him to improve, of course, because he is relatively young as well, but it's my mindset going into the offseason is that I'll probably want to build my teams differently than taking Abrams this early, but we'll have to wait and see.
Yep, we'll have to wait and see for sure. The player I was talking about that's going like two picks after Lou Bob is Brenton Doyle. He's going right after him. And he's coming off that season, went 23 homers, 30 steals, hitting 260, striking out 10% less than the previous year, shutting up a lot of people. But people are still saying, one-year sample. Let's believe it when we see it. Well, Steamer comes back with, check this out. 27 steals, 23 homers, almost in line with his 23-30 season. 245 average instead of 260. Little bump in Ks, but almost a straight stat line from last year for Britton Doyle across the board. What's your thoughts on this one? Because I know I have one Doyle share in the too early meatball DC, and I am a believer in at least the power speed. I understand the swing and miss could be a problem.
It is, but it did improve a lot. I think he was someone, when we did the projection review, who was projected to be a detriment in average. And it was actually a pretty big beneficiary or benefactor in terms of average. So now his ADP is 85 Doyle. He's projected to be the, where is he? He's pretty high up here. He is, I can't find him right now. This is bad. Where's Doyle? That's not what I want to do. Oh, he's only 57. So he's, if you add in the pitchers, it's it seems like it's pretty close range for where Seamer has him. It's the average. They're expecting him to hit 245, which would be a step back for sure. He hit 260. So it's not a huge step back, but at volume, he's now 500 plus at bats at a below league average. So you have to make sure you account for that because there's the risk. But the K rate did, like I said, it did drop to 25%. It was closer to 30 the previous season. He does have the bad core splits where he has a 907 OPS at home versus 637 on the road. But yeah, I think if he's going where he's going, I may almost want Doyle ahead of Lubob just because of the situation. I mean, it's literally two picks apart is what their difference is in ADP. Even though Robert is projected much better than Doyle, I think Doyle's getting hurt for the track record. And I'd rather have a Coors hitter than someone in Chicago when the skills are relatively the same, I think.
100%. That's why it's interesting to see them go next to each other based on those projections as well. Kind of tie in a minute. That's why it's fun. Projections are out. Well, we can really break stuff down and have fun with these ADPs. Next up, Zach Neto, 22-24 projection coming off a 23-30 season for the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim. He had 249 last year, projected for 252. So a little dip in steals, but everything else pretty much in line from the previous season from Neto. Had the shoulder surgery, so we'll see how that pans out for him. But I think, you know, we saw the 2020 already. Do you believe in it again like the projections do?
I definitely believe in the 2020. I could see him going, I think he was close to 25-30, if I'm not mistaken.
He was 23-30, yeah.
Yeah, and I was concerned with how high he was going in drafts, Neto, and he is the 69th overall player ADP, and this is hitter 65. So Steamer's definitely saying that he's getting overdrafted according to what they've put out so far. And primarily it's the average, 252 average, which isn't really a help. And also my concern, like reviewing the past year, was that with Neto, the low runs and RBIs. But if he hits at the top of the Angels lineup, I mean, he's got Jorge Soler, so watch out. I mean, it could be a powerhouse now. It could be a different story, but it's just the run production at that point in the draft. You really want to make sure you're at least getting a hitter who's projected for 80-80. And who knows, if the projections get updated, if the other systems like him more, okay, maybe there's a little more confidence that he will return those higher runs and RBI numbers. And also, you have to wait and see like where he's hitting, but there's no reason he shouldn't hit at the top of the lineup for the Angels. He is their future shortstop, and there's no one who should be holding him back. So if you're one who's going to disagree with what Steamer's saying, then okay, keep taking Neto where he's going. But this, like with the other guys, the average is an issue. 252 isn't very good for an earlier round pick, and just be careful. I could see him getting overdrafted for those skills, but it's I don't know if what I'll think about him eventually, but I'm kind of lukewarm on this price because considering what the projections are saying.
And like I told you before the show, there's a player going 110 picks later, I think, is this year's Zach Neto. I think he'll outperform Zach Neto as well. So just gonna leave that out there. A little Easter egg on this one, and see if you guys can figure it out. If not, he'll be talked about in future shows. Just leave you a little, you know, on the edge on that one.
I think we should mention him still eventually. We'll save it for another show.
Yeah, we'll get to him when it comes to projections because he does rate out pretty well. His projections 18-16, so he's not that far off either, which is pretty nice. All right, this one I'm happy to see, but I was surprised to see Steamer agreed type thing. As Tyler Fitzgerald, coming off 15 home runs and 17 steals last year in 96 games for the Giants, hit 280, a lot of swing and miss. We expected regression. Well, Steamer has been 150 games, 22-22, 231 average, though, which is a big bummer. Like, that's not going to help the cause. But they agree the power speed is legit, which I agree with as well. I will preface this. The Giants have already come out and said they want to sign a shortstop a la Hung Sung Kim. And they want to make Fitzgerald a super utility player. Still playing almost every day, but roaming around the diamond. So keep that in mind when we talk Fitzgerald. But they got him for 22-22, which I didn't know if Steamer would actually give him the love or not.
Well, you have to be happy, though, because his ADP is I forget how early you took him in the meatball draft, but
oh yeah, it's way higher than I took him. That's for sure.
You might have the min. It's 158 on DC
yeah,
so
that's
far.
That's probably mine because I took him in the final round. It's round 11 or whatever. So yeah, I have the min. That's me.
Well, but the average is 220 and the high is 265. So I think you're not too far ahead of how far the low is to the average. If you know what I'm saying, like you're not that much farther ahead of the average. So you're. You and whoever took him to 265, you kind of did a nice job setting the high and the low. But he is the 96th projected hitter versus the 130th based on ADP. And that's saying a lot. It's just kind of like with the other guys we mentioned, the average could be an issue with Fitzgerald, 231 projected by Steamer. And I think he had a close to 30% K rate on when he was up this.
Almost 32%, yes.
Yeah, it's rough. Yeah. But he's a young – and well, this is his first taste of the big leagues. He isn't really young, though. I think he's like 26 or something like that.
Yep.
Yeah, he's going to be 27 potentially. He is 27 now. I just want to see how it went as the season went on, if he went up or down.
The final month was not as good as the other months, let's put it that way.
Considering his average wasn't terrible. It was 280 on the year. He had 321 in July, 279 in August, 250 in September, and he's super fast. I think with that K rate and the speed, he could give you 250. And Steamer is saying, I think I said 230. They're probably looking at the K rate. If he goes 79-70 with 2020 and he's going past pick 200, that's awesome. Hopefully at that point in the draft, you have a very good average floor and you can absorb a 231 average. I mean, last year, Trevor Story was going pre-pick 200 and he had basically Fitzgerald's projection, I think. He was going to hurt you in average, go 2020, 70-70 plus runs and RBIs. And I think Fitzgerald going at this point in the draft, if you need a shortstop or middle infielder, and you can, like I said, you can take the average. I would definitely pick him in this range, just for the upside. I think
there is upside. I'm with you there. I was just surprised Steamer, they do factor in the recent history and the swing and miss and all that good stuff. So I was surprised he still got the 2020 love. All right, this one's fun for me. It's Trey Turner. Everyone loves Trey Turner. Trey Turner has an ADP of 25 right now, so people really love Trey Turner. But his projection is 2022, Ben. He is hitting 277. He's coming off a year where he had 21 homers and 19 steals. So, you know, he's 21 home runs in four straight years. So they're giving him the power. Steals were down tremendously last year. And they're only giving him a minor bump. He's going to be 32. So he's actually older than I think many of us think when we talk about Trey Turner. But for someone going with an ADP of 25 to be a 2022 guy, basically in line with Zach Neto, in line with some other shortstops, it's making it harder and harder to take a chance on Trey Turner.
Are you worried that he's not doesn't have the upside to support that pick?
Just if we believe in the projections, because there's a lot of other shortstop projected very similarly. Trey, now Trey has a higher ceiling. Like, he's in a great offense, hitting towards the top of the order. If he stays healthy, he could be 25-35 again and hit 280 and score 100 runs. That's awesome. That probably pays the price, no problem. But I'm just saying, based on this projection, there's an argument to be made to pass on Trey Turner.
I hear that. But so when I looked at his line just now, the first hitter that came to mind was Michael Harris. And Michael Harris,
on the list, yep.
He's a few spots above him. Harris is the 15th hitter per Steamer, where Trey is the 20th. So not a big difference, roughly 1 point in the Z-score calculation. And it's really because of the average. So they have Trey hitting 277. And looking at his history, he hit – besides 2023, he hasn't been below 290 in a long time. Since 2018 was the last time he was below 290. And his sprint speed is 96th percentile. The one thing that is good still on the Statcast is his XBA. It's only 269. So maybe they're somehow looking at that. Steamer is. It's 78th percentile, not the best. But the power isn't there. So I think that 20 homers is safe if he plays the full year. He has had injury issues. I think he had a hamstring, which isn't good for a player like him. So I get that skepticism that you have. But I think this 2-3 turn is fair for Turner. I'm just looking at it from like just the stats, not really thinking about how shortstop is at this point. But like if he was an outfielder like Harris was, I think that's fine for 90, 80, 20, 20, 280 average. That's pretty valuable in a roto format, especially in a deeper league. But like I'm not saying I'm going to go out on a limb and draft Turner this year. It's just that I think it's fine. And I think where's the ADP? He is
just 25th. Turner's
40. He is a 20th hitter. So it's pretty spot on, actually. It's interesting. I think it's a fair – I think the market has done a good job so far with Turner's projection. I mean, he was below 20 steals for the first time in a long time this past year because of the injury, I think. But at least come spring training, if he's running or it looks like it's not an issue, that I think he could steal 25 maybe. He has the speed to do it.
Yeah, for sure. It's just interesting. I expected to have a higher projection. I know the average is different. 22-22, just talking homer, power, speed. That's the same as Fitzgerald. It's almost the same as Neto. It's like it's an interesting predicament. But also, like you mentioned, Turner, better average, better run scored. You name all that. Things look pretty good there. All right. Next up, you mentioned Michael Harris. He's 26-22, 26 homers, 22 steals, 285 average. We've always liked Harris for his average. Last year, he disappointed. Harris hit 264 last season, 16 homers, 10 steals, was injured for a lot of the season, only played 110 games. He's only played 110, 138, 114. So he's never really put a full season together either. We know he's got the 2020 potential if healthy. What are your thoughts on this? I think it's a fair projection, but it's just a matter of can he put it together in a full season?
Yeah, he's definitely a tough one to crack, and he's now the 42nd. He's at ADP of 42, Michael Harris. And he, I mean, even last year, he projected very, very nicely. It's because of the average. The 285 gives him such a big boost. It's definitely his best stat in terms of the Z-score number. It's almost a third of his total value. But 96 runs, that's asking for a lot because he's probably going to hit fifth or sixth again for the Braves. Acuna's back. Ozzy Albies will probably hit second. Then he got Riley and Olson and then Ozuna. So the top five is probably is done. I could see Harris switching with Ozzy, but I don't know. It's tough to project him for this volume in terms of the runs and RBIs. Granted, the Braves should be a much better offense next year. And I think you were in on Harris when he was going last, where he was going last year. I was too. I had him on a DC. It was disappointing that he got hurt and kind of underwhelmed again. But yeah, I compared him to the Trey Turner line. I think they're very similar hitters at this point. One's going up, one's going down. I think Harris is the one should be on the rise, but injuries are keeping him from reaching that potential, I think. And I think the other also too, like I said before earlier on the show, Steamer, I think the other systems will probably be lower on Harris for whatever reason. Steamer just really likes him. So I would be curious to see. I'm sure we'll do the show where we compare the different projection systems for players.
Oh, yeah.
And I think Harris will be a good one to look at. I'm sure he'll probably have some, a wide range of projections for the upcoming season.
Yep, I'm with you there. Next up, Randy Arozarena. Now, this one was fun because similar to, you know, some other projections that make you feel warm and fuzzy, make you kind of feel justified in some of these guys. To see Randy, with all the nastiness of hitting 219 last year, still went 2020 for the fourth straight season, and projections aren't dying down. Steamer has him at 22 homers, 21 steals yet again, 238 average. So still 238 would be the second lowest average of his career. So Steamer's not buying into a, you know, return to the batting average, but there's still the 2020 potential. And now his ADP's 125, Ben. It's one of those, like, if you believe the projection, ADP's pretty sweet. If he somehow finds his 250 average, life is good. Seattle can make things tricky still. But what's your thoughts on this Randy Arozarena projection?
Well, it's basically saying that his ADP is fine because he is the 71st hitter right now in DCs, and he is the 77th hitter per Steamer. So that's close enough for me. And his line is almost identical to Fitzgerald's, which is kind of funny. It's just Randy's got a few more RBIs and a little bit more at point, a little more higher batting average. But at this point in the projections, very small changes will cause that to happen. It's these players are very similar at this point. And so trying to wrap your head around Randy Arozarena being similar to Ty Fitzgerald is saying a lot. And Randy, yeah, he had the big drop in BABIP. I think the average, I think that's his floor. I mean, he did hit 219, but the 238 is his actually that's the Fangraphs steamer projection. They have the same one. Never mind. But yeah, he's never hit that low before until this past year. The K rate was always suspect, but it's been, he did a pretty good job, Randy, of lowering it in the previous two seasons to this past year. And yeah, Seattle is tricky for how he's going to do in the full year there. But like I think I said too in the other show, he had a hit in Tampa Bay, which was always a tough place to hit too. So maybe he's comfortable now. Maybe J-Rod bounces back. Cal Raleigh's there. Maybe someone else. Maybe they sign somebody. So I think Randy's a good flyer. And like I was, what I said with some of the other guys we mentioned, I think there's also been a trend too. Now that we're getting farther in the draft, you have these 2020 guys, but they have the low average. If you have the average to take the risk on Randy, I think it's fine. Just make sure that you didn't take Ellie in the first round, and true, you have some good cushion to absorb that potentially low average.
Great point. All right, two more players in the 2020 situation here. The Law Dog, Lawrence Butler. This is great to see. Projected for 27 homers, 21 steals. And don't forget, I don't think Steamer takes park factors in. I think it's more of a bat X situation. But Lawrence Butler coming off 22 homers, 18 steals, and a .262 average in 2024 in 125 games. Now they bumped him up to 149, so he gets a little increase in both, hitting .253. I love everything about this. ADP is 109 right now for Lawrence Butler, but I'm a believer in the changes made. Another guy only going to be 24 years old this year.
Yeah, I remember looking at him at the end of the year, and his stat cast is unbelievable. Butler's, it's a ton of red, one of the better ones you'll see, and he's projected to be the 37th hitter. So Steamer is all in on the brief breakout that we saw. He almost has 90 runs in his projection. Butler, 89, almost 30 homers. And I think he has the tools to back it up. I think one thing I noticed too when we did the review was sprint speed is kind of low. It's only 58th percentile for Butler, which is kind of surprising. But I think he 20 steals is fair. 21 is the projection for Steamer. It's another lower average player though, 253, which is fine. I mean, especially when you take him at ADP, it's not going to hurt you as much because hopefully you have a few guys with a much higher average than that. And his XBA was 265. So I don't know what they're looking at. I mean, the K rate is kind of high. It's only 23% though. Oh, 24 if you round. So I don't get why Steamer is so low on Butler. Maybe because 2023 he had 211. But it was literally 123 at-bats. And that was his call-up year. So I don't think you should have too much weight on that. Maybe his minor league averages were bad. But yeah, I think Butler, where he's going, is not going to last for long. So another reason to draft early, I guess.
Yep. He's going to keep pushing up. There's no doubt about that. The last one here, the second New York Yankee. Not a whole lot of teams can say that on this list. And this is one that I think a lot of people, you might hear this is too low. This is like, there's a lot going, because the Martian himself, Jason Dominguez, there's been, the hype train has been huge. Maybe not Ellie De La Cruz huge, but it's been pretty big for Jason Dominguez. And he's projected for 2020 on the nose, hitting .249, playing in 139 games. I guess it's common sense here. It depends how much does he play type situation. But you got a better pulse on the Yankees than I do. So what do you think about this Jason Dominguez 2020?
Well, I forgot you had him on the list. So, and I remember reading something on Twitter today, and I just looked him up as you were talking. And I recalled seeing this. It was a quote from Aaron Boone. Boone said, "I fully expect him, Jason Dominguez, to be a big part of what we do this coming year." And I think with the playing time, 2020 is very in the realm of possibilities with Dominguez. And it's I don't think it's contingent on them signing Soto, because Verdugo is also a free agent. So right now their outfield is probably Judge and Dominguez, the Yankees. And I think 2020 is quite the projection for a rookie, because he hasn't really played too much. So I'm sure he still has his rookie eligibility going into this year. The problem is his last name has the special characters. Where's Jason? There he is. Yep, 66-66 with a .250 average, roughly. 507 at bats. So if he's up from day one and they give him the Anthony Volpe treatment, you're looking at 600 plate appearances. And if he performs and they don't sign a true leadoff hitter, maybe Dominguez hits leadoff and he pushes 80 runs. And I don't know what his ADP is right now. I'll look that up, but I'm sure it's pretty favorable. Yeah, 82nd hitter. Well, actually, it's pretty high, 143. So, yeah, so the crazies are expecting him to start the year in the majors. And I probably would too at this point because he's been called up a couple times. And like I said, they have that opening in the outfield. So I don't know if like you, I am a little hesitant to take rookies, but 143 isn't terrible for his ADP. He's the A-second hitter getting drafted, but Steamer has him as a 106th hitter. But granted, it's a positive. He is a above average hitter per their projections. And 2020 is nice, especially with an average that won't kill you. So wait and see what happens with more news and see what the other systems say for Dominguez. But I think it's a pretty fair starting projection for him.
Yeah, and just for fun, because they only had him like 139 games. Steamer 600, for those that want to kind of stretch it out a little more. It's 142 games, 21-21, 69-69 with 249. Still pretty friendly for a rookie, as you mentioned. So something to keep in mind as well. So pretty excited about that. All right, real quick, just wanted to highlight, we're talking power speed here. We talk ratios are tough to predict in projections, but it's always fun because, you know, every year Vladito is going to hit like 330 or something. We have six players projected to hit 290 or higher. Six whole players projected to hit 290 or higher, Ben. We've got Luis Arraez and Yordan Alvarez are the only two projected to hit over 300, which I thought was a little surprising, honestly. To see that, because if we're thinking, you know, batting average guys, there's a few, but more like common sense ones, I would guess. But we're talking 300. There we go. Luis Arraez 307, Yordan Alvarez 302. Then you got Bobby Witt Jr., the only player from the 2020. There's two, Acuna as well. Bobby Witt 297, Vladito 297. It seems like he's always over 300, like I said. Jung-Hoo Lee at 293 and Ronald Acuna, the other 2020 guy, at 292. I think we expect Arraez to be up there. Yordan, not that surprised. The other one's not. Jung-Hoo Lee is one I want to highlight here real quick because he's projected for 14 homers, 13 steals. The power is the biggest question mark for me, Ben. I think the hit tool is as legit as it comes. I think you and I were talking about Lee before, but projected to hit this high batting average-wise. And when you look at projections, ADP 301, Ben. So we're talking as a bat. I think the batting average is legit. Like, that's what he does. The rest of it's questionable. So when you see his projection for Jung-Hoo Lee, what do you got?
Yeah, I did point out Lee to you. So he's the 183rd hitter right now in DCs. He's the 51st hitter, and it's only because of the average. So the average has him in his the whole projection package has him ahead of Brian Reynolds, Matt McClain, Yelich, Trout, Doyle, Christian Walker, Riley Green, Teoscar, Bo Bichette, Neto. So he's ahead of a lot of good hitters. So this is saying they think he's going to be the outfield version or maybe utility. I think he has outfield eligibility, Lee. He's going to be the outfield Luis Arraez, but with a little more pop and speed. So I think at that point in a DC pick 300, if you want playing time, hopefully he stays healthy and he should produce. And I don't remember what he was doing last year. Do you know how he was hitting before he got hurt from memory?
Let me get it for you right here. He was hitting well. He got hurt for the whole season, obviously. But he was hitting 262, two homers, two steals in 37 games. But a 273 BABIP. I think he's much better. He's strikeout rate of 8.2%. He makes too much contact to hit that low. I think that's more of a growing pain situation.
Yeah. So he was on pace for roughly maybe 10 and 10 with that early. I mean, it was also his first cup of coffee with the majors. So who says he couldn't have improved his paces as the year went on? And yeah, with that low K rate, I think he's a modified version of Luis Arraez, but as an outfielder. And I think if at pick 300, if you have enough power and speed and you just want some at bats and a good average, I think he's probably a solid pick, which is surprising for me to say, but that's what the average or the projection says. And I get why it's saying that, and it makes sense. You just have to have the right needs to take Lee in a draft, and you have to make sure that if he's a target of yours, which I don't think he should be necessarily at that point in the draft that late, but if you do take Lee, make sure you know what you need and make sure that he fits that build.
And what's fun, though, is I like using I love ADP debates comparing, like, value. And to me, this is interesting to me because a player that's going with an ADP of 168 instead of 301, 168, who is projected for 14 homers, 19 steals. I think Lee was 14, 13 or something like that, and a 281 average. that's Stephen Kwan. Now, Stephen Kwan will score a lot more runs in Cleveland. Not going to deny that. I think Stephen Kwan is better than a 281 hitter, but the power speed's pretty close. So you're talking almost 150 picks, 140 picks between the two. And I think they're very similar ball players. So
I see that comp. It's a good one. And also, I will say Steamer did like Kwan a lot last year, and I did take Kwan in my first DC, which I was only using Steamer.
Fan. Yeah.
Yeah. And like the power just disappeared, and he didn't run at all, Kwan. So he's basically just like a runs and average guy. But yeah, it's a I've been saying, just wait for the other projections to make any solid conclusions still. But it's definitely eye opening and makes you want to look at, see, okay, where is Lee ranked in the bat or any other system? You know, it's interesting to look for those things.
Most definitely. All right, before we take the couple listener questions we had and head out of here, Ben, is there anybody else on your Z-score sheet that stands out to you that you wanted to highlight real quick before we got a couple listener questions?
Okay, Caminero, Junior Caminero is 47th overall, which is saying I thought I'd be pretty.
Yeah,
it's saying 77, 29, 95, 262. That's quite the rookie year stat line, I would say.
Yeah, because we're talking ADP with Caminero, 104, so. That they're giving him some serious love. That is for darn sure. That's impressive.
Yeah, and I think at that ADP, I'd be interested in him because I remember watching him when he was playing the Yankees and his swing looks. Or I think he was playing the Dodgers, and I was watching the MLB Network game, and he looks legit as a hitter.
Like he does. Not to mention the guy right below him looks legit as a hitter as well. Luis Rengifo projected for 19 and 25. So, and one of those just missed the 2020 discussion.
Yeah, the good old mascot. And yes. I think I told you, I probably expect the other systems to have his homers more in like the low teens. I think 19 is asking a lot, especially he only hit 6 last year and he's coming off the wrist injury, but the average and the steals and the runs should be there for Rengifo. And it probably should be like Neto 1, Rengifo 2, Trout. So I think he should hit at the top of lineups, assuming everything's good. Go back to who we were teasing earlier.
Number 69 on the list. Very nice.
Very nice indeed is Mason Wynn, guy I was big on last year in drafts. And he's projected to be ahead of others like Ian Happ, Adelis Garcia. He's ahead of fellow shortstop Willie Adames, which is very eye-opening to me. He's ahead of
interesting.
Bogarts, Jimenez, Stott, Volpe, other more notable middle infielders. He's ahead of Cody Bellinger in the projection system rankings. He's ahead of, Swanson, who's been a early round shortstop for the longest time. He's even ahead of Royce Lewis, Mason Wynn.
Wow.
It's quite eye-opening to see Wynn that high. And I think he finished pretty well, but it's because he's very boring profile. It's the runs and the average that really help him a lot. And I was saying to you before, he has the speed to steal more than 20 bases. Steamer has him for 16. I think he only stole like 11 this year. But if he hits leadoff for the Cardinals, they let him run. He could be a 15-30 guy with a good average and a lot of runs and playing all the time too. He won't be like Stott or Jimenez who might sit versus lefties. Wynn would be in there all the time. So that's what I have to say about him. I like this projection for him.
Yeah, he's got the 18 home run projection. He hit 15 last year in his rookie year. He'll be 23 this year. I told you before the show, Matt Thompson on the Cardinals preview last year said he believes Wynn has a lot of power, but he expected it to come not this past year, but either coming in 2025 or 2026. So like a legit 2020, like I said, he's this year's Zach Neto. Like this is the dude, and he's going way later. His ADP right now is 182, 183. So yeah, Mason Wynn can be a fun one. I think there'll be some helium as more discussions come out on him, but I think he's very legit. You were on him last year, and I wouldn't get off of him yet at that ADP, that's for sure.
Yep. Let's see what else we got
here. I think I was telling you before the show, I think it's telling that Matt Chapman, off his big year, obviously not projected to steal a ton of bases, is 92nd on this list. Right ahead of him is Lane Thomas and Jake McCarthy and Nolan Arenado. So the projections aren't giving Matt Chapman a lot of love off of a big season.
You saying Chapman made me think of his partner in crime and my arch nemesis.
Eugenio?
He's 148, which is
probably where he usually fits. But they got him 23 home runs, 236. Yeah.
Yeah. Story is only one spot ahead of him. So
he's right ahead of Tyler O'Neill and Zach Geloff.
Oh, man. Yeah, this is interesting. Josh Lowe is 152. That's how the mighty have fallen.
Yeah, that's a lot of platoon situations right there. Parker Meadows only at 146, 16, 20, but 235 the average. They're digging him hard for the average, that's for sure.
Yeah, I mean, he has such a small sample, and it was so bad, so I get why they would be low. Oh, so another rookie, Dylan Cruz, 130, 16-24, 245 average, in the 60s for runs and RBIs. That's kind of interesting. He's
that's a good one, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, Elliot Ramos, 126, 68-22, 72-7, 249.
No love for Ramos. I get it. He's boring. He's boring, but I think he's boring good is the way I'll put it, like a good fourth or fifth outfielder.
So 115 and 116, Victor Robles, Jesus Sanchez. That's pretty interesting.
Ooh, yeah. They got Jesus going 22-10, 255. Sign me
70 up RBIs. That's a lot for a platoon bat.
And there's Mr. Boring himself, Ryan McMahon, 240, 22 home runs, almost like clockwork. It's easy to make that projection.
You just copy last year and then paste yeah. it.
And then I'm going to hit this one up for Uncle Ted because he won't stop saying his name over and over. Pete Crow Armstrong is 159 here, Ted, 243, 13 homers, 24 steals. I think he's better than that personally, but young players' projections have issues with at times.
Yeah, he's a limited track record too, so it's tough for them to really hit it on the head on the nail on the head. Looking,
I will say Will Smith at 164 is fitting.
I will say so. I didn't. There's no position adjustment here. It's just the raw stats, but just to defend Will a little bit. I know Ryan's in the chat, but
don't worry about him. All right, anybody else you want to hit on these last couple questions? All right, okay, where's Sedan Rafaela? There's a question from Adam Lee. Where's Rafaela, multi-position eligible, power, speed, upside? What do you got?
What is his projection looking like? Is that what
where's he rank on the list there, Rafaela?
He is 142nd. They have him for 59, 15, 59, 20, 250, right between Masataka Yoshida and Lars Nootbaar.
That's probably fair. I think he's better than projection, but he's just very inconsistent last year. I think a lot of that was moving him all over the diamond. I hate seeing young players do that. So
they really knocked down his runs and RBIs. Wasn't he like 70, 80 or something like that?
Yeah, he was. I'll pull it up right here. He's more of a speed guy, but come on. Zidane Rafaela. There you go. Apparently, Fangraphs doesn't like when you misspell things. He was 15, 19, 70 runs, 75 RBIs. So not a bad rookie season, honestly.
No. He'll play every day, too, because of his defense.
Yep.
Oh, here's a fun one I saw while I was scrolling, and I know that you appreciate this. Matt Wallner, 185. Nolan Jones, 186.
Woo! Right next to each other. And for more context there, Nolan Jones' ADP is 219. Matt Wallner's is 282. If you want to play that game. So yeah. That's fun.
This is saying they're both getting overdrafted. Yes, they both are. That's hitter 185, hitter 186.
Yeah, they're troublesome, to say the least, right now.
Yeah, we could go on for days. There's a lot of interesting names here.
Yeah, maybe we'll come back to that after the end of the pitcher one if we have some extra time. We'll have some fun with that and dive around with pitchers next week. But let's hit on a couple questions here. Thomas Travato. He asked Ronald Acuna playing time adjusted projections because they only had him for, what did I say, like 133 games or something like that. But that's fair because he's not supposed to play all year. So I think the projection on the playing time is actually pretty fair.
Yeah, if he misses the month of April, which I don't know if he would or not, it's about 20 to 30 games, and 133 is just that. But he would have time off beyond that, I'm sure. They would probably have him days every once in a while. So I just think the steals are maybe a little high for a projection. Coming off the injury he had.
And then he asked about Christian Campbell's projection. He's a rookie for Boston. Hasn't even made his major league debut yet, so those are very, very difficult to project.
Let's see if he's in here.
He's projected for 53 games right now.
They have him for 26, 6, 24, 5, 265. It's a pretty good average, honestly, for a rookie. So. And you said like 50 games, so that projects to like 15 over a full year.
Yeah, has 217 plate appearances. Yeah, full season. It's a great projection if he plays a full year. I have no context on a prospect.
Right. You alluded to Steamer 600. He would probably pop in that because of how good those rate stats are. But yeah, I don't know what he plays. Did you say what position he plays?
On Fangraphs, he's second base, shortstop, and outfielder. But if you let me pull up my draft board, I'll tell you what NFBC has right now. Christian with a K.
And you never know. It could change.
He's playing second base only. Second base only.
For the Red Sox, you said, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, they have Story, yeah. He could kick Hamilton out. There's a chance he gets called up, I think.
Yeah, they have three prospects in like the top 50, I think, in right now. So they have a lot of guys that have played AAA last year. They're gonna be pretty close for sure.
Could get traded too for a pitcher.
All right. The other listener question we have real quick here from John Dobos. He says, how about Kobe Mayo? So what do we got on Kobe Mayo?
Look him up. He is hitter 535. They don't think he's going to play much. 58 at-bats.
Yeah. The Orioles have so many things. They need to make trades. They really need to make trades. That's their biggest thing. So it's tough to make those projections for sure. And then we got one more in the chat here. Adam says, Malloy probably can be got late in a 15. Good lineup, bad ballpark. Yeah, Malloy is 419 on this list. They don't have him playing a lot. That's his biggest problem.
No, I can't even find him.
ADP's 540. And on your sheet here, he's 419. So, yeah.
So that's 180 at-bats multiplied by three, looking at maybe 60, 18, 60, which, I mean, that's like your okay projection for a late-round hitter. But yeah, the playing time isn't necessarily there. The average could hurt you, too. It's 220 on Steamer, so.
Yep.
I forget how he did last year, but he was one of those guys.
A lot of swing and miss. And the Tigers apparently want to spend some money. We'll see. We'll see how that plays out. All right, Ben, we'll wrap it up there. That was fun. Getting a little get you focused a little on 2025. Welcome to the party. It's a good time out there. The water's cool. Jump in anytime.
I'm waiting to get in the party still. I'm outside in line.
There you go. And we'll talk pitchers next week, and then we'll probably hit on some more hitters. Or maybe if, you know, we talk a lot of pitchers the following week, we'll kind of come back to the Z-score and really have some fun with it. But maybe we'll have another projection system by then. Who knows? And we'll have some fun as well. But final thoughts before we head on out of here.
Nope. It's a good one. It's always good to go over the projections. I always like digging into the numbers and seeing what stands out. And just if anyone's drafting beside yourself, of course, is maybe you see some names stick out and maybe you reconsider your early biases on a player, whether it's good or bad. So, I mean, it's already happening with me, like with, I forget who they are, but there's definitely been some names that I've had to recalibrate a little bit in my mind.
These are just good talking points. They're not the end all be all, folks. Like, we're just using them as an angle to kind of look at players. Do we believe, do we not agree? Like, dig in on players and have some fun with it, because we all know how fickle baseball can be. So these are just one little sample to help us out. But yeah, like I said, I have another show on Wednesday. Toby, Batflip Crazy, will be joining me on Wednesday evening.
Oh, let's go.
We'll have some fun with that. And then next week, Monday or Tuesday, we'll line it up. Ben will be back and we'll talk pitchers, according to Steamer. Have some fun with that as well. But until then, make sure you follow Ben on Twitter at @BreakingBen_T. I am at BDIntrick. This was Bench with Bubba, episode 696. Catch you all next time.